Oh my God, there's that smiling face again.
How about that?
I love it. I love it with the gray hair again. Yeah, I hate it. We've talked about this before, but I like the hair on the face. That's just my brother Wes right there.
So do you like it all naturel, or do you like it just for men?
No. I like it all naturel, and there's a real reason why. Because it makes you look almost as old as me. you know, and that's important, because I like to tell people that it doesn't show up here on the screen as much, maybe the lighting I have or whatever. But as you well know, when we've met together in person, my hair is relatively mostly gray. I mean, it looks a little darker on the light, which I like. But I tell people sometimes that I put some dye in it to make myself look a little smarter. And they usually respond with, oh, you need way more than that. Which, you know, I realize then that when I tell the Dixie chick that, you know, that didn't really bother me because I have no feelings. All of a sudden, I realize I might have a tiny one.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, my beautiful wife prefers the just for men look, but this is a lot easier to maintain, and it's a lot more truthful.
True. And we want to be authentic, right? It's important. We talk about that all the time. But more importantly than that, Wes, that's just your wife. I'm your brother, your buddy, your pal, and I like it the way it is. So come on.
All right. Well, I'll put you two in the Thunderdome and let you battle it out on which one we're going to do.
Let's do it. Hey, you know what? I know as we always say, we're pretty entertaining to ourselves, and we'll be together in a couple of weeks and entertain ourselves a lot. But let's go get TJ, because you know what? He's like the world's greatest at something, and this is going to be brilliant.
I know. Let's bring him on.
Let's do it. You've had enough of me, I can tell.
All right.
All right, let's go.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
What's going on, Randy?
Man, just living the dream, you.
Oh, man, you know, if you pinch me, I don't want to wake up because I'm still dreaming. So,
you know, and isn't that awesome? I mean, right into it. Wes and I talk all the time about love what you do and do what you love, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the first things that drew me to you on social media.
Yeah.
Was that every time I see you, you're just on fire with love life. And you love what you do. You love the work, and you love your family, your daughter, who is just absolutely amazingly cute and awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and it's, you share all that with us.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, is you're not one dimensional, just the world's greatest roofer, right?
Yeah.
Which I love that tagline. And and all the other things you do, and hurricane aficionado, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
That's the right word, but I like to
say
it. That's a word I'm trying to use.
Right.
And I use it 17 times this week, so I get it right. Aficionado. So, but
my,
you know,
word of the week, right?
Yeah, exactly. I that's my word of the week. But I love your zest, is the word I'm going to use. That's also, you can do with an orange, by the way, I think, or a lime or something.
Or lemon.
Yeah. My wife told me zest this. And I go, what? She says, oh, that's what that thing is. Okay. I love your zest for life, and just love what you do and do what you love, and it's just, it's good stuff. So welcome. Thank you for being on.
No problem, Randy.
So I got to ask.
Yeah.
Where did you come up? Because I love the tagline, world's greatest roofer. I mean, I just love it. So give me how that happened.
You know, a couple of years back, it's been almost, it'd be 3 years this year. I can't believe it's been almost 3 years. I had COVID sitting here in the basement of my house, and I was, you know, going through TikTok at the time and looking, and I saw that there weren't a lot of people that were utilizing social media with short form videos to either help them sell or brand their companies or build their businesses. And I had an aha moment. Right. And so one of my friends is Josh Bigger, who is also known as the best dam roofer, if you guys have ever seen Josh online. But I'm talking with Josh, and I have this coffee mug, and it's like world's greatest dad. And I said, well, I could be the world's greatest roofer, because I had to give myself a name. And man, it stuck. And I tell you what, I had to hear all about it for a couple of months, even a year. I still hear about it all the time, but it stuck, and I stayed with it, and I branded it. I own a company called World's Greatest Roofer, And you know, my wife and I, we love it. I'm world's greatest roofer. And if you Google world's greatest roofer, I come up and you see it on social media. That's me.
I love it, man. So, I just love it. And isn't it amazing? Yeah. As I listen to you tell that, how sometimes these great ideas just pop out of nowhere. Yeah. Because my website is ibuyfromrandy.com because I'm a rep agency, right?
Yeah.
And one day I told a customer, they said, what do you think I should do? And I says, buy from Randy.
Right.
And all of a sudden it clicks. Why don't I just go ibuyfromrandy.com? It was that easy, right? Yeah. It's just out of the blue. And I went and bought that domain like 12 minutes later. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's funny how those great ideas just pop in your head. But so you were in the roofing world prior to doing all this. I mean, you're still in the roofing world, but you were actually a roofer, owned a roofing company, slung some shingles and, you know, humped them up the ladder and all that kind of stuff at one time in your life.
I've done a little bit of all that. Yeah. But going back over 20 years, you know, I was a police officer for most of my adult life, but.
Oh, you were. Thank you for your service.
My father-in-law was a builder of piers, seawalls, and boathouses. And so I spent my time off from being a cop building piers and seawalls and boathouses. But really, my time in the roofing industry didn't really start until I started working for a managed repair program where I was the contractor network consultant. And I was training new people and even roofing company owners how to get insurance claims bought and how to do proper inspections. And then, you know, how to find hail, wind damage and stuff like that. But throughout the years, I've held jobs in large loss companies. I've been a recruiter. I've done the roofing sales myself and you know, to where I'm at now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you, before we get in, cause I want to save the best for last, but what's really interesting to me is your world of the, I'm not going to call you a hurricane chaser cause that's not the right word, but
so, I'm a hurricane chaser.
Yeah. Oh, good. Then I'll call it that. I just don't want to offend you. Roof-R.
Yeah.
Tell me about Roof-R. You're the community communication manager. Is that the right word I got?
Yeah, I'm the community manager for Roofer. If you guys don't know roofer.com, it's we took the E out so we could, you know, make sure that we spell it properly.
Yeah. Well, that is the way most of us say it, right?
Yeah. And I work together with about 120 plus other great individuals all over the world, literally all over the world. And Roofer is an all-in-one sales toolbox, and that's what we strive to be for roofers out there. So they don't have to go buy 7 different pieces of technology. They can just come to us, and they can get their residential commercial measurements from us. They can get their digital sales proposals. They can have now we're launching our CRM currently in open beta right now. And then we also assist with their marketing efforts and their lead generation with our instant estimator tool. And all of this is very, you know, I say very cheap and priced just right for roofing company owners so that they're not being put out of business by spending way too much money on technology.
So the nice thing about that, because I don't want to claim super familiarity, but because I am not a roofer, but I service the roofing industry as a manufacturer's rep. Yeah. The beautiful thing with this is you bring in all of that stuff in one platform and probably, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but arguably, I guess I'll say, one of the biggest weaknesses that roofers have is they're great at doing a roof.
Yeah.
Nicest roof you're ever going to see, right? They're beautiful. Not as good as the world's greatest roofer, but close, right? But they don't have either the expertise, the time, the desire, or all the above to do all those other things.
Right.
And so they're back to just doing it the quote old fashioned way.
Yeah.
And which sometimes is fine. Yeah. But in most cases in today's world of social media and with technology podcasts, like you need to maybe bring yourself a little bit more into the 2023s. Right.
Yeah.
And I think the area that most contractors struggle with, which I love what you guys do, is that marketing aspect of it. They can probably figure out how to do the estimate. I mean, they've done it. Yeah. If they have to, they can do it old school. I used to estimate pole barns a couple hundred million years ago. I could still sit down and probably get it pretty damn accurate right now.
Right.
Just because I did so many in my life in the past. But so they could get that done, but it's not going to be packaged. It's not going to be pretty. Yeah. And all the things that you do. And I want to go with this. They're not branding themselves.
Right.
Right. And that's what you can help them with is, you can be the best in your area.
Yep.
But if people don't recognize you as the best, you still lose. Right.
Right. You know, being able to go out there and actually present to a client documentation that actually looks amazing, has their company logo on it, or, you know, whatever they're placing on social media or whatever they're talking about. If somebody's going to their website, they can get all of the information that they need very quickly. Or very efficiently, where it looks amazing and it's easy to go through. And then also putting all the information in one place, working on our CRM, you know, we've our roofers, we say for roofers by roofers, because most of the people that work at Roofer have been a roofer and understand what roofers go through. So when we're building our technology, we're keeping that roofer mentality in mind as to how is this going to help me grow my business? How is it going to help me streamline it to be more efficient? And who wants to measure a roof by hand anymore, right?
Exactly. So, no, that's no fun.
Right. So, but no, you know, we really just want roofers to be better at what they do and make it easier for them.
Well, that makes sense. So really what you just said, I was just making a note. Yeah. I told a guest I had a while back that I make notes. I'm not doing crossword puzzles because A, that would make me sound really old. And B.
That means you have newspapers.
Well, exactly. And what is that thing? and thirdly, I kind of think getting a tooth extracted with no Novocaine would be more fun than doing a crossword puzzle because that would bore me in about 2.5 seconds. But I just made a note here. Roofers, you guys are roofers that market, not marketers that try to be a roofer.
Right.
And I think that's so vitally important because you understand the game.
Yep.
And you also understand marketing. So you put the two together. Yeah. And that's what I think brings, because I've done a lot of looking online at what you guys do just because I'm in the industry. So I'm interested, but also I'm prepped for just chatting with you. Yeah. And I love, love, love what you guys bring to the table.
Yeah. And it's so, you know, what you're saying about that is, you know, Richie Nelson is our CEO. And Richard and was a roofer and still very close to the roofing industry. And he put on roofs for many years, and it was hard for him to do this type of work without having the proper tools for him to do it at a reasonable rate, instead of having, like I said, to pay so much. But you know, even you know, I could go through the list of Nick Capobianco or Matt Radford or Dale Osborne, all of the people that really mean something to the roofers in our industry today that work for a roofer. It's not just me. It's not just Richie. There's a whole team of us that I say are a bunch of badasses that really care about the roofers out there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you really, with what you bring to the table, and this is an area that I guess near and dear to my heart because I'm just a massive proponent of being a brand ambassador for the brand of yourself. Right.
Yep.
And you've got to brand yourself. And in my opinion, and I know you agree, but you help these guys brand themselves, which is so important because you can go to any yellow pages, if anybody even knows what those are anymore. You can Google, you can do whatever you want to do, right? And there's 19,000 roofers that come up.
Yes.
Right? So you got to separate that yourself. And people want to buy from the best damn roofer or the world's greatest roofer, not somebody that they just sort of saw an ad someplace, right? They want to buy from you personally, right?
Yeah. You know, roofing companies do a great job of branding their company, you know, beautiful colors, beautiful, you know, logos and designs, but really people buy from people.
Exactly.
And when I'm on social media and I'm pitching to, you know, potentially millions of people around the world and telling them that I am the world's greatest roofer and they should buy from me, you know, people will put my phone number in their phone and not the roofing company's phone number. So when somebody goes to their phone to call the roofer, it pops up TJ Roofer or World's Greatest Roofer. it might not necessarily say XYZ roofing company or whatever the case may be. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of roofers out there that hate when I say that, right? Because they do a really great job of building their brand. But with, you know, personal branding out there nowadays and social media and the what we're doing right now, talking on a podcast, people are going to recognize myself or you, and they're going to be like, that's an expert. Or that's somebody that's a professional in his field. And then, you know, roofer just adds that extra, you know, touch to it by being able to hand a homeowner or a potential client a really great product.
Right. So somebody comes to a roofer.
Yep.
How on an average, how many other services, shall we say, are they going to be able to replace and bring all into one fold?
I can't really spread all the tea, but here's what I'll say is that we're developing new tools every month, every day. We have engineers that are amazing. That I call it rocket roofers, you know, so rocket surgeon roofers. Mm-hmm. But they're in the back. I say in the back, but they're steadily building new systems and new tools for roofers to use to make their businesses better. Over the next year, I think that we're going to grow tremendously, even bigger than what we are today. And I'm saying that humbly, you know, because over the past year, we've had some amazing growth as well. But with this launch of our CRM, we're really looking to go after those mom and pop roofing companies that are still utilizing spreadsheets in their day to day business. You know, Excel is great, but there's new things out there that can help you that can make it more streamlined. And then also to make your job easier.
Exactly. So this is one of a subject that I really love. The whole social media aspect. Yeah. We're both, as we know, on social media a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've kind of touched on it, but I don't think that I can scream the value of social media loud enough from the highest mountaintop.
Yeah.
And when I do that, I do that with a lot of people that I know that think I'm an idiot because they don't buy it. They don't agree with it. They think it's a waste of time. What are you doing? What do you say to that?
So there's been a stigma in our generation. You might be a little younger than me. I'm just saying that.
We're already going to promote this show a lot, so you don't have to. Well, you know, okay, you can say nice stuff.
But so there was a stigma in our years, right, in the 80s and the 90s of my parents and my grandparents were always the type of people that said, you don't put your own business out there for the world to see because it's nobody else's business but the family's, right?
Right.
And then still today, that's not where we're at anymore. If you want to brand or market yourself or if you want to build something big in just a short period of time, you can do that utilizing social media, and you should. You don't have to talk about everything that you do in your day to day. But damn it, if you're going to go out there and be on a roof every day and you can't get at least a 1 or 2 minute video or showing somebody exactly what you're seeing or talking about how you helped a client overcome a problem or, you know, whatever the case may be. If you can put that on social media, people will relate to you and they will buy from your brand tenfold. And and that's what I do. And that's how I've become so popular, I guess I'd say, with the people that follow me. It's almost 450,000 people now. And it's really just because I'm authentic and I try to care about everybody that does come into my picture. And now, you know, sometimes I'll post some negative things. But I think that my approach to negativity is more towards things that I see that I don't like. And I think that should change. And, you know, if I go hard at something, I want to make sure that people understand why I'm doing that. And it's not necessarily taken as negativity, but it's also taken as we need a positive change.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Speaking of negative.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you go on social media, you open yourself up for the negative comments, the negative feedback, what do you do with that?
So I used to take it and put it internally, and I used to like I would I would get upset at night. I would go to bed and I'd be like, I can't believe so-and-so said that about me, or I can't believe that person made that comment about me. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get too involved with the negativity, or you can take it as the approach that I did. I got to 200,000 followers and I said, this is one person having a bad day or a bad moment in their life that they're trying to take it out on you. And if you stay the course, there's nobody that's going to take you off course. Now, your following is your following, and my following is my following. And if my followers start to act up, or what I say, act up or do something like that, I'm going to give them an opportunity to vent to me what the problem is. But if they're going to be bad for me, and they're, you know what, they can go away, and there's a block button and there's the delete button.
Right.
And if they want to come back and keep trying to start more stuff, people see that and they see how I interact with that comment or how I respond to them. And I get the accolades for staying positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And okay. You never win a negative situation by going negative yourself. Right.
Right.
And I've always found that if people that follow you, love you, know you, believe in you, that occasional negative, most people are going to go, well, that's just some guy being a chump, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not the TJ I know or the Randy I know, right? It's so so if you but the problem is you start going down a rabbit hole if you start hitting back too much. Even though it's let's face it, most people the initial urge is to punch them in the nose. Hey, quit saying bad stuff about me. But if you just I think that's really good advice. So Idalia, you just got back.
Yeah.
You got back from the big storm, the big blow. So tell us about that, because I know you do a lot with that. Tell us a little bit about that whole experience and your other experiences. Yeah. I think you may know I live in Southern Florida most of the time.
Right.
Naples. I'm in Michigan right now. I'm here for the summer months only, mainly because the Dixie chick doesn't like 105.
Oh, man, it's a warm area down there, isn't it?
Yeah. But so tell us about Idalia and what you do and your goals with that and anything you want to talk. Let's talk for a few minutes about that.
Let's talk about natural disasters in general just for a minute. You know, I grew up in a military household and in the, 70s and 80s. And my dad was in the Navy. And my very first hurricane that I ever remember as a kid was Hurricane Gloria. And Hurricane Gloria was, I think, 1985, and I was probably around 7 years old then, 6 or 7 years old. And it really, I really thought a whole lot about hurricanes from that point moving forward. Now, moving forward until I was 14, my house got hit with a tornado, and I was inside the house when the tornado hit, and my mom was in the driveway inside the car. And I'll never forget, the 17 trees that were on top of our house after that hurricane. But, even going into being a first responder, being a police officer for almost 14 years of my life, I responded to natural disasters almost, every couple of months or most, a couple times a year. And it really, inspired me to continue to help other people as I got out of being in law enforcement. Now, as I gained a following in these past few years, I was able to take that following and show them, that there are things that the news, I'm going to try to be as positive as possible. Okay. The news organizations out there will try to say that things are occurring one way. Right. And they want you to believe that that's the only thing that's occurring out there in the world today. But my approach and the reason that I became social media famous was because of my live broadcasts and being able to show people in the moment actually what's going on. And so when I go to a hurricane, it's not necessarily because I'm going out there with this adrenaline rush that I'm this crazy person that's, going into this hurricane. It's really because, one, I am an extreme person, but two, I want people to actually see in real time my point of view as to what's occurring. But then three, it's used as evidence collection for us to help fight insurance carriers when they try to deny or delay or defend that causation didn't occur on a roofing system or building destruction or a flood or whatever the case may be. And I'm showing this live to people in real time And I'm also taking, you know, 10 different GoPros and I'm setting them up in strategic locations so I can show the destruction that occurred and also the wind damage or the wind speeds, the temperatures, how much flooding there was. And I'm able to get that to people in real time so that when, you know, the biggest thing that I took away from Adelia this time is I was in Perry, Florida when the eye wall hit us. We were expecting a Category 4 to come across, come into the shore there. And it broke at the last second into, you know, a Cat 3 and the eye wall broke. But on the news that night, you saw, you know, four houses that were flooded. And you saw one gas station roof that was ripped off. And that one news reporter was sitting there the entire day in front of that gas station waiting for that awning to fall. And so they showed all of this destruction, right? And trust me, there was a lot of destruction in Perry, Florida. Most of it was from tree damage. But if you're not showing the whole story, people are only going to believe what you show them.
Right. So I was saying, so if the news media, for example, paints this as the worst thing that ever happened in the history of mankind, and it was bad, but not that bad.
Yeah.
And then that gets recognized at some point. We stop believing that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when a real emergency happens where they say, you know, the weather guy comes on and says, folks, you got to take high ground now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Bullshit. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's just more of the same stuff. So there's a danger to that. And so I applaud what you do and bring in a real story. So at least the people that follow you and the people that share that stuff out can go, okay, there's other stories here. And I know that when you're in a situation with some of the hurricanes, it's been probably worse than it was expected, right?
Yeah.
They still get the same story, right? I mean, Ian was pretty bad.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. You know, going back just a little bit to what you're saying is like the news organizations, we were always told to trust, right?
Right.
And then we were told to trust, but verify. Now we're just told to verify because trust isn't even involved any longer. And that even goes for my wife. You know, whenever I tell her something, you know what she does? She goes to Google, right? And I'm not saying that negatively, but we're just so apt to go figure it out on our own nowadays because with the touch of a button, we can figure it out on our phone in a matter of seconds. Right. But Hurricane Ian was the most extreme weather event that I've ever been through in my life. And I always continue to compare everything that I do from this moving forward to Hurricane Ian. Now, I was in Fort Myers, Florida on that bridge when that water was coming across into Fort Myers that day. And you know, let's talk about what the news organization said. We have over 1,000 people dead. And so I was really taken back by that because they hadn't even found 1,000 people dead yet, but they were telling everybody that there was 1,000 people dead. And now the actual number, there was a lot of people that died. Don't get me wrong. There was more than 250 people that died that day. And it was they should have taken the high ground and done what they were supposed to. But there was no way to tell that at that last second, you know, the spaghetti models had Hurricane Ian going up the West Coast there and then going into Tampa. And we recognized that at 4 o'clock in the morning that there's a problem. Hurricane Ian turned right in the middle of the night. And so we took off from Tampa and we were staying at Dr. Jessica Stahl's house back then. And we were like, you need to go, right? Like go high ground, go to Orlando, go somewhere. And we started heading down, 75 or 85?
75,
yeah. Yeah, 75. And we got to Venice Beach and all of the water was gone out of the ocean. And we're like literally in the middle of the ocean, where typically it would probably be 7-8 feet tall. And I've walked out 400 yards in the middle of the night. And so we got back in the truck, and we hauled ass down to Cape Coral and, into Port Charlotte area. And, I'll never forget sitting through over 100 mile an hour winds for 12 hours. That eye wall hit us four different times in the matter of 8 different hours. And we just couldn't, you know, like the pressure was so low, like my body took a beating that day. And people don't understand, like when we go into these events, the pressure, when people say that, you know, the millibars are down or they're going up or whatever, that affects your body. And for several weeks after that, I wasn't well, like because first I was in that Cat 3 water. And then second, I was inside of that low pressure system. It's really not safe for anybody to be in that type of system, whether or not they're my age, fit, or a hurricane chaser or not, because hurricane damage isn't the only thing that causes you to feel bad.
So that's interesting. So there's something I'm clueless to this. What is that low millibar pressure do to the body? I have no clue.
Imagine, I like to explain it like this. You know, when they say that, you know, when like a lot of older people know when it's going to storm because their bodies start to ache, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. It's like getting a bad case of aches and pains from or you know, feeling like you're sick from sitting inside of a system like that for an extended period of time, or even, you know, if a person goes underwater too far and the pressure is too low down below the waterline, they might need to be depressurized at a hospital. And that's similar to what I'm talking about. It's like arthritis pain, right? Okay. So it just squeezes the joints a little bit.
So not really a pleasurable experience.
Right. I mean, for me, it's all about making sure that we get the footage that we need, get people to see what we're seeing. And I'm willing to put myself through that. You know, but I was talking to Karina about this the other day. You know, Karina's my wife. And I was like, you know, we never have had that conversation before I go into an event as to, you know, how she's feeling about what I'm doing. And I recognize this time, you know, that, hey, you know, I need to find out what she's thinking. And she was like, look, I don't want you to feel nervous, but I'm nervous as hell. But I know that when I'm watching you live, that everything's OK. And she'll stay glued to the TV to watch me live to make sure I'm OK.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's great you get that support. And that's always important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are. You know, putting yourself into harm's way. Well, most people, you know, are skedaddling out of town, right?
Yeah.
You're heading into town, but that had to be, and I remember watching that storm because we're north during that time. Cause as we've talked earlier, I live south of Fort Myers, about 40 miles. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I, you know, so we're watching from the standpoint of like everybody that lives in that area that could be affected. Holy crap. Right. What's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, when that took that turn to Fort Myers, that was like, whoa, that's, again, what you said. We were told Fort Myers south, we're going to have no issues.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little bit of a tropical storm or maybe a Cat 1, which in that part of the world is nothing, right?
Right. You guys lived through Irma in 17, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you look at, you know, you don't even put hurricane shutters down for that stuff, you know?
Sure.
You know, pull stuff in from the pool or something, right? But that's about it. Yeah. But yeah, it's the having been to Fort Myers Beach a number of times, the fact that it's gone to a large extent was devastating. It was amazing. Yeah. It was every adjective you could use, right? Because that was the real deal, man.
It's still like I was in Fort Myers all weekend, this past weekend, because I was at the blue collar event that Lee Haight put on. And I still am, you know, I've told a lot of people this, maybe you've seen this, is I'm planning to move to Cape Coral. There's just something about what happened in Hurricane Ian that keeps drawing me back to this area, right? To Southwest Florida. But also the fact that when you still drive down Fort Myers Beach, it looks like it still happened yesterday. It's unnerving to me that here we are a year from the time that the hurricane hit, that we still have buildings that are like laying on their sides, or boats that are still not in the water, or boats that are still underwater. If you go into Fort Myers, into what is that, the Caloosahatchee River there, all the boats are still underwater at Fort Myers Marina.
Wow.
And I was looking out from the Luminary Hotel there in Fort Myers this weekend, just in awe. Like, not that, oh my God, this is beautiful. Like, I was like, oh my God, there's still just tragedy that people can see and they still have to live through. And I can only imagine the PTSD that those people are going through.
Oh, it's got to be tough.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough. So, you know, if you move to Cape Coral, we'll be 30 minutes apart. We might have to tip a Dr. Pepper or two.
Oh, man. Something. You know what? I would love that. And you know what? One of my favorite things is fresh seafood. I try to destroy as much seafood as I
there
can.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. You get down there, a Dr. Pepper or two or five and some fresh seafood. We'll destroy that stuff, buddy.
Perfect. I would love that. You know, I got to go to a place called Rum Runners this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oof, great food there, man. So, but beautiful. Yeah, no. You know, we're watching, you know, I don't know when you're planning on broadcasting this, but we're watching Hurricane Lee right now. And Hurricane Lee is scheduled to become a Category 5 by Saturday. It's rapid intensification. I asked this question the other day to a couple of other professionals and experts. You know, Matt Mulholland, who is also known as Listen to This Bull, he and I chase hurricanes together. And a lot of people are asking, you know, us, I tend to lean right, right? So I'm going to bring a little politics in it, but I also am kind of moderate. But, you know, is climate change or are the worlds warming up and these storms getting worse, right? And I think that we're going to have to continue to watch over the next few years to see that. But, you know, over the past millions of years, there's always been cycles in our weather. And, you know, I really think that we just have had a bad run of some major storms these past few years.
Yeah. 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 Lydia's, I mean, yeah. Anything at 3 and above is a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess 2 is a big deal if it hits you directly. But
a 2's, if a 2 hits like New Jersey, it's going to destroy them.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly. But a Cat 5 is no joke, yeah. Man. That's catastrophic. So right now, I know as we talk, by the time this is released, it'll be had done or hadn't done, whatever it did. But that's a big one. It's they keep coming.
We're watching it up to the moment right now, and we'll see which way the spaghetti models turn. I already have my airplane on standby to jump over to Florida. And the Ink Jeep is in Jacksonville waiting for us right now.
Perfect.
This past time we drove and we'll continue to drive the Ink Jeep Dominator. I don't know if anybody knows Ink Payments, but they have a beautiful Jeep Dominator. And we're installing some new 360 cameras on the top of that, as well as a snorkel so that we can go a little bit deeper in the water. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. As soon as I see deep water, I'm usually the first to say, let's turn around. So,
yeah, I get it. That makes sense. Yeah. So I got to tell you, and then we'll let you get out of here, because I know you got another podcast shortly after this one. But I love what you do. I've said that earlier, but the in the moment,
right,
that you bring, and what I love about it, and I'll name no names, but we talked about it off screen, but I love that it's raw and it's real, and you're seeing what you get. If it's good or it's bad, you're seeing what you get. You know, and that's, again, we talk about things getting tainted. Yep. We've seen too many of the, you know, the fans blowing on people and the water's all the way up to my waist. Well, yeah, you're in a ditch. Yep. I mean, and that's what I love with you do is nobody wants these big storms to happen to anybody. But if it's happening, it is very interesting to see what you do. I watch a lot of your lives.
Yeah.
They're in it happening, you know, but what I love about it, not that it's happening again, but I know what's really happening. This is what TJ is in right now.
Yeah.
You watch the typical news coverage and we watched, remember the one, it might have been Naples, it might have been somewhere, it doesn't matter, where, like, out in this worst storm ever.
Yeah.
And then 2 guys are walking down the street behind them.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, come on.
They're standing there like, oh, my God, the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
The guy's just walking.
Yeah, it's like, come on, give me a break. Let's just get some honesty back. And so that's what I really wanted to applaud you on, Nat, is not only is the footage incredible, but I love the honesty that you're bringing. So I will tell anybody, follow TJ, follow what you do with that, because if you want to get the real story, and you know, you're putting your body in harm, you're putting your life in harm when you get into that stuff, because you never know, as smart as you are and as good as you are, still Ma Nature, right?
It's
like the tornado chasers and stuff, right? I mean, every once in a while, you see one of those guys getting wrapped up in one a little bit, right? You can't control, right?
Let me do this before we go. Look, if you are going to be in a Category 3 or above hurricane, and you have never ever experienced it in your life, you don't need to go there. Don't be a Billy Badass. Don't go say that you're going to go chase hurricanes for the first time in something you've never been in. And if you're a homeowner, a business owner in those locations, board up your business in your house and get the hell out of there. Because even if it's scheduled to be a category one or two, it can ramp up like this one did this past week and become a category four real quick, or even a category five like Hurricane Ian, right? We had 157 mile an hour winds that were hitting us, and people were only expecting it to be a cat one.
Right.
So just remember, don't be an idiot. Do what you're supposed to. Leave it to the professionals or the experts. And you know what? I got a great workman's comp policy.
So. There you go. Yeah, great. That's great advice. You're right. Yeah. Man, love the ink Jeep. That thing is like, that's bad. That's
it's
cool.
Crazy, man. That's cool. It.
Yeah. So someday. Yeah. The first two glasses of wine are on me if you bring the ink.
Oh, you know what? So you know what? With me living in Cape Coral, I'll definitely be down there with that ink Jeep.
Oh, dude!
And you know, I'm looking forward to doing some other things with ink in the near future, and cool. We'll talk about that later. But
perfect.
But ink is a great platform, and they're doing some big things. And you know, you have to go with the new technology in this industry. Stop being 10 years behind. If you're a roofer out there these days, even if you're 60 years old. Take a few minutes to learn what might be able to help you, or might even be able to save your life from having to climb all over these roofs to measure or to continue to handwriting contracts that people lose. Right.
So, well, it's I think the key there, right, is don't embrace technology and quit being afraid of it and quit running from it. Because look, I grew up in the world of and built my career as an old school road warrior, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was pounding the roads and hugging babies and kissing babies and bro hugging and pizza pie lunching and all that stuff. Still love to do it.
Yeah.
Still get juice out of do it. And I go do it a lot. But combining all the technologies has been such a force multiplier for me.
Yeah.
That it's like it's like night and day. And so I'm 60-ish, shall we say. And I'm telling you, I was as old school, that is the biggest bunch of garbage ever several years ago.
Me too.
Right.
Yep.
And now I'll talk all day, any day with anybody that want to talk about it. I mean, I've got a talk come up at a trade show in a couple of weeks I'm going to do, and it's going to be about hybrid selling.
Yeah.
It's going to be about how you bring the two together, because I believe in it. I can't shut up sometimes about it, which I'm going to do now because you need to go.
No, I'm good. But
I'm hungry too.
So much. Yeah. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. And if anybody wants to watch me live or to see my content, you can go to TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and just search World's Greatest Roofer, or you can just even Google it and it'll bring you to all my sites. So I appreciate you having me today, Randy. And then, you know, thank you, Wes, if you're backstage, I appreciate it. And I've loved being on this podcast. It's been great.
We appreciate having you. Thanks, my friend. Hey, yep. if Lee makes a turn and you head out, be safe.
I'll be there. And make sure you comment and share my lives.
You got it, buddy. Sounds good. Cheers, my friend. Thank you. All right. Was that fun or what? I mean, nobody likes natural disasters to happen, but seriously, if you haven't followed TJ, you got to follow him, because the raw power of these things, are enormous, and to be able to live them truly from the ground with somebody like TJ that knows what he's doing and gives you the true facts is amazing. The World's Greatest Roofer, follow him on that. Roof R, great, great, great people. And so if you're in the roofing world at all, you really need to check them out. And outside of that, I am going to get out of here, and I'm going to remind you two things, maybe three, that are really important. Love what you do and do what you love. Live it, love it, own it. And as I always tell you, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Let's go. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live. You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.